This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Really excited to welcome back to the show a very smart guy, the man who was in charge of trying to figure out where COVID came from, David Asher, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. Hey, David, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Hey, anytime, Rich, you're the best.
Listen, I appreciate that. Coming from you, it's a huge honor. You were the man that was in charge of really trying to figure out the origins of COVID-19. You had roadblocks at every single turn. First of all, I saw yesterday you said that this is really, at this point now, it's a criminal cover-up. Where do things stand? Give us the latest.
Well, I mean, my personal view is that there certainly is a serious crime investigation warranted into how on earth a group called EcoHealth Alliance, which is a huge contractor to Anthony Fauci and the National Institutes of Health, and I don't blame them for all bad things on earth. I'm not like some people, but I'm saying they were giving these people huge amounts of money for well over 15 years. To work with the Chinese, specifically in the wake of the SARS epidemic in 2003. And they were doing research that basically created super coronaviruses. And there's clear evidence from a recently released DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency from DOD, a grant application to DARPA, which was rejected, thank God, that they were trying to invest into COVID virus that looks very similar to COVID-19, a fur and cleavage site. And the fur and cleavage site is the thing that basically makes us spreadable between humans and more pathogenic, means it makes us more deadly. That's the missing piece of the puzzle, simply put. Now we know that Everything was being done by the U.S. government and the Chinese together to create a super virus.
And why the hell would we do this?
I think we did it because we believe that this thing might potentially evolve in nature like that. I think that's a fatuous assumption. Personally, I certainly know the science of statistics, and statistically, we're talking 1 in a million plus chance of ever happening as a natural virus. But you know, this our great scientists who think they know everything. Sort of Frankenstein-like, we're trying to endow this virus with something that, you know, God above did not, and probably would not under any circumstance. And how that leaked out of a lab is still hard to know, but it looks almost certainly that the conditions existed in that lab for a leak. Now we know that they were doing the work on the bats, the mice, the endowing the fur and cleavage site with genetic engineering, everything that we contributed to this, including these weird animals called pangolins, which are seen in the genetic code of COVID-19, existed in the lab at Wuhan Institute. I mean, it's bizarre. I mean, the chances of that happening and this thing not leaking are really low.
And David Asher, I hear this, and I keep thinking to myself that from the perspective of a scientist, I guess you could make the point of saying, well, we want to create this super virus so we know how to fight it if it ever comes from nature. But I would imagine from the Chinese government's perspective, they'd like a super virus for a whole host of other reasons.
Yeah, and there's no reason that they were funding the research at Wuhan secretly, as we Secretary Pompeo brought public in January 15th of this year. if they didn't have something to cover up, because they could just declare that to the Biological Weapons Convention. They did not declare it. They declared all sorts of other research, Nipah, Zika, chikungunya, all these things you've probably never heard of, Ebola, people may have heard of. They were working on all of those, but they did not declare SARS coronavirus as an area of biodefense. So if it wasn't biodefense, was it bio-offense? Because they used to declare it as biodefense until 2016. And suddenly in 2017, the year that the classified program kicked off, according to our declassified fact sheet, they stopped declaring it. I mean, I just think there's too many coincidences here. And this is why, you know, in a crime scene investigation, you use deductive reasoning. You know, you have a hypothesis. You try to go forward and prove it based on evidence. This is not what the U.S. intelligence community has been doing. This is not what the Biden administration is doing. They're basically trying to do effectively what I called a Wuhan whitewash months ago. It seems to have catched on. And it's not stopping. I mean, how we could be trying to cover up something that has destroyed 20% of our GDP or cost us 20% of our GDP, if you look at fiscal stimulus plus the drop in growth, and killed, you know, 650,000 roughly, I think, Americans. It's insane.
It's insane. It's for anybody to just dismiss this as something that was just an unfortunate accident, and even if it was an accident leaking from the lab, all of the things that they did leading up to that point, they are, and then after with the cover up and the lies and everything else. I mean, China is so liable here. David Escher, as a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, as a man, as an expert on international policy, the man from the State Department who was in charge of seeing and understanding the origins of COVID-19. What do you make of what that Chinese defector said, that he thinks COVID was around in 2019 during the military World Games? And from his perspective, he thinks that it's China did it on purpose.
I don't know that everything we saw. OK, that's all I can base my assessment on, is stuff that we saw that we have. We saw it at an unclassified level. Obviously, there's a lot of classified stuff, which I can't talk about, which might be worse, actually. But the stuff we saw that was unclassified implied that there was some sort of accident, that they just didn't know what the hell was happening in there initially, and it got out of control. Now, the defector, who's, you know, very connected communist fellow, it does intimate that, you know, he was hearing from his former cronies that in, you know, at least November, maybe late October, that there was information that seemed circulating. That's perfectly consistent with the Center for Disease Control put out internally that Robert Redfield has spoken about publicly. So, I mean, you know, it had to come from somewhere. It could have come from a cave. But why on earth were they working on every single precondition of creating a super COVID that looks exactly like COVID-19? And, you know, and why were they doing it in an illegal fashion at that lab? And why did this thing just emerge right down the street from the lab? I mean, it's the chances of this happening randomly are very low. I'll always believe pigs can fly on the moon in some sci-fi movie, but right, not in a movie I live in.
not in real life. And so as people are listening to this and they think to themselves, all right, look, this happened. It is what it is. Move on. The question that I have, it's a question that a lot of people have, is what else could be in that lab? I mean, what other things could China have been working on? What's the next thing that could happen? And how do we know that China is still not looking at taking COVID-19 and trying to still make changes to it going forward? How do we know the lab is secure now? How do we know that they have taken the steps to make sure that this could never happen again? Do we know any of those things?
No. We know nothing. I mean, but we could know something. The U.S. intelligence community has declared through the Director of National Intelligence that we may never know. You know, I've done a lot of work with those people over the years, including on the ground. It's inexcusable. It's not true. There's no doubt in my mind that we could break into the Wuhan Institute of Virology and find out what happened. Why the U.S. government hasn't tried it, I have no idea. If we tried it, we've done a bad job. We need to get people who did it need to be reassigned. I mean, you know, I led efforts to get inside the Iranian nuclear program twice, the North Korean state twice, the Pakistan AQ Proliferation Network, you know, Al-Qaeda's leadership. I mean, I have not been involved personally in efforts that have failed significantly that I can recall in my life. The only time they failed is because of politics. This seems to be politicized. I have great faith in the CIA that they're not the Central Incompetence Agency. They just need to be told, make this happen. Here's, you know, $50 million, you know, pay people off to get inside their chain of command in that lab. But if they maybe they have been and they fail, but then there's got to be new people put in charge, because a lot of old guard people I know would break in there in about 2 weeks.
Last question I have for you, David Escher, and again, so grateful for your time. Do we now, I mean, is it confirmed now that the EcoHealth Alliance and doing this work on creating the super coronavirus, and that funding was also coming from the National Institutes for Allergies and Infectious Disease and also the National Institutes of Health here in the United States of America?
Yeah, there was very significant funding, and it was significant not just in terms of the money. It was significant in terms of making this thing something that would be covered up because of embarrassment that they might have contributed toward creating COVID-19. I mean, so, you know, the Chinese know how to lay a trap, and they do it all the time. In every other sector, you know, semiconductors, lasers, missiles, you know, nuclear. Why would they not do it in biotech? It's like one of the biggest areas for scientific achievement. And I see every aspect of a trap that the Chinese laid. They call it a honeypot in Chinese, where they, you know, get your fingers stuck in the pot, and then they shut the top of the pot on your fingers, and you're sort of locked in there. This is a classic operation to get us to work in, you know, with them in a way that makes us unwilling to out them for their, you know, aggressions.
Yeah, right. Because we were the sugar daddy, so we don't want to be embarrassed about that.
We were sort of sugar daddies. I mean, we were enough of a sugar daddy that we feel embarrassed to have been involved. And you know, Fauci doesn't want to admit it. You know, it's just outrageous.
But these people, we wasted.
Yeah.
David, we wasted, and you know this, and you've said this. We wasted so much time in the earliest, most critical days. Because these people knew that they were involved in this creation and they lied about it to protect themselves. And God only knows how many lives could have been saved had we known the truth from day one, had we been able to get into that lab from day one, had these people just been honest and said, look, this is a super virus. You need to be aware of this. And then we took steps accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, the Chinese, think about it, the Chinese had really no reason to cover this up. Even if it was a lab accident, they could have said, we don't know where it came from. They could make an alibi. It came out of a chicken farm, which some scientists told me would be actually plausible. And it just got out of control. And they said, we need your help. They did that in previous epidemics or pandemics, I should say, more localized instances. And they didn't do it this time. And they got help this time from our own NIH. And who put the NIH in charge of pandemics? It's the, you know, it's the CDC. It's the Center for Disease Control. Redfield was totally pushed aside from like early on. Some people say, you know, in mid-December. I mean, you have to ask him. I don't know when. But, you know, he didn't appear on the scene. I know Francis Collins, head of NIH, was in New York recently talking about knowing about this in at least the second, third week of December. So why didn't he go to the president and try and shut this thing down? I mean, if he it's his whole reason for existence is to stop these things. The people who run out front to deal with it are CDC. Why did he cut them out? What did he have to hide? I see this as like the Watergate of medicine, personally. I think this thing's got a lot of hair on the dog. And 640,000, whatever it is, American deaths, and I'm sure it's going to go way higher. And it's inexcusable. I mean, you know, people's egos shouldn't come before the national security interests of the United States in any circumstance. And it is actually criminal to do dereliction of duty in office. I've sworn the oath of office before, so have these people. And, you know, your job is to protect and defend the United States. They're not doing that. They're doing something that's borderline treacherous.
The Watergate of medicine. What a great phrase for that. David Escher, Hudson Institute, senior fellow. Thank you, my friend. Really appreciate everything that you're doing to try to get the truth out there. Thank you.
Thanks to you as well. Thanks. Have a good day.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.